Want to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. Glory to God. You know, as I teach home Bible studies, I reference the Old Testament versus the New Testament. The dividing line between the old will of God and the new will of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. There was an old will that God wanted, but Israel did not follow through on. And of course, he had to come in the flesh in order to give us this new covenant or new will. And I was thinking today, there's a lot of changes from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You know, the obligations we have today are different than they were for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But the one theme that follows from the Old Testament to the New Testament is worship. They worshiped in the Old Testament, and most of the scriptures that we use on worship is from the Old Testament, and truly it makes a difference in our lives. As a pastor, my main mandate from God is to get people closer to God. Every time I stand in this pulpit, every song service is designed to, how do I get closer to God? And the question is, how is that happening? It's not just a one-time experience, but it's an everyday relationship that you just don't get your fix on Sunday morning and then go through the rest of the week without song services. Amen. All right. Or having a relationship with God. So this isn't going to be a book report. It's going to be a relationship report. How can I get closer to God? And I think it's very appropriate for coming into the first of the year. So if you turn your Bibles to Psalm 63 and verse number 4. In fact, let's start at verse number 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. So what David is saying is, you know what? I'm not satisfied with just having this once or three times a week relationship. I'm thirsty right now. They say you can go 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, and 3 months without food, or you die. But with God, if we're not getting a refreshing of God's Spirit, it won't be long. I don't care. The strongest person in here will die. We'll have to drag your carcass back to church and try to give you mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. How? I will lift up my hands in thy name. Anybody do that today? Amen. Psalms 134. Verse number 1. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord which stand by night. By night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Why? And bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. And then the last scripture is in 1 Timothy. Chapter 2 and verse number 8. Paul's saying, I will therefore that all men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, blameless hands, clean hands, without wrath and doubting, without feelings of anger, guilt. If we could keep the screen down this morning, would you pray with me that God would just bless the word and change us through it? Lord, we're grateful, God, of what we're already experiencing in your house. There's an energy and a power in this place, God, that can't be denied by anyone. It is a sanctuary. It is a place where your spirit dwells as well as in our hearts. Bless the word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There are a lot of hands that were raised in this worship service this morning, and even during the preaching, we raise our hands. And we were taught that that is what God wants us to do. And we see by this scripture that our lifting of our hands blesses God. Over the years, I've been in many courtrooms because of representing insurance companies with claimants. And so for several years, it was a constant being in court situations, guardian ad litem and so forth. And when a person goes to court to be a witness to testify, they are required to raise their right hand and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Even the atheists have to raise their right hand and swear because they are under obligation, because if they don't tell the truth, they are in contempt of court. They actually can be put in jail because they're not telling the truth. So where did this custom of raising the hands come from in court? I know where it came from in the Bible. It came out of the 17th century court system in England. They were unable to keep adequate records and couldn't tell if a person charged had any previous convictions before they came into court. So they would brand a guilty person on their right palm. They would have an M for a murderer, an F for someone who was guilty of a felon, and a T for someone who was involved in thievery. And if they were called to the stand, the judge would say, raise your right hand to see if the person had previous convictions. And that's carried over to our court system today. So let's look at Psalms 24. And verse number 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? I said earlier, the whole object is to get into the holiest of holies. You know, it's disappointing if we walk into a Pentecostal church and we don't have a Pentecostal experience. We should walk out of here having an experience with God, a relationship with God. And it says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So God's looking for clean hands, if you will. Chapter 18 and verse number 20, it says, the Lord rewardeth me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. So the rewards are part of our clean. Did you have any prior convictions? Every one of us should be branded with all kinds of letters. But you know what? God cleansed us. And I want to make sure when I come into the house of the Lord, when I raise my hands, they're clean hands. There isn't any past convictions, and that's simply by confessing our faults to God, confessing, and he is willing to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Amen. So aren't you glad you can raise clean hands in the house of the Lord this morning and get into his holy place, if you will? Lifting our hands in worship is a sign of surrender. If you find somebody in an alley and somebody sticks a gun in their back, I know what I'd be doing. I'd be raising my hands in surrender. It really identifies whether we are holding something back from God. I'll tell you what, if I'm not living for God, it is going to be very difficult for me to raise my hands. You see, it's just a part of our nature, if you will. Amen. I saw people worshiping this morning that have problems. Right here, I'm telling you. I saw people raising their hands and worshiping that were sick, some who had lost loved ones, some who had very disappointing weeks, or the job isn't going. And they still raised their hands because, you know what? It isn't about me. It's about blessing God. I bless the Lord when I raise my hands to him. The answer is, get me to God. And the only way into his presence is through worship. I don't know of any subject I've spoke on more than worship, because I recognize it's the answer to probably 98% of our problems. Once we get into the presence of God, everything else seems to just melt away. You know, and then it's not difficult to repair the problems that we have in our life or relationships, you see. God inhabits the praise of, he dwells in our worship. Worship is our highway. It's the road to get to heaven, to get into his presence first. Amen. If you'll turn to 2 Chronicles, the 5th chapter. Second Chronicles 5 and verse number 10, it's talking about the Ark of the Covenant. It says, there was nothing in the Ark save the two tablets which Moses put therein at Horeb. When the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. In 2 Samuel 6 and 9, it says, and David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? What happened is they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, and they didn't do it the right way. You know, you can go to 150 different churches, and they're all trying to bring in the word of God and the Spirit of God, but God's saying, I'm very particular in how it comes. They used a new cart, you know, they used animals. God said, no, I'm not gonna put up with that. You see, you have manufactured a new way that I have not ordained, I have not approved. And so now David is saying, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? And the question each and every one of us should say is, how am I going to get God to come to me? Amen. And it's not going to be my way or the highway. It's going to be God's way. It's the only way that it's going to happen. Amen. David's question should also be our question. How shall the ark of the Lord come to me? Or how shall I receive the word of the Lord and the Spirit of God? And not just that I hear it, but that it would be performed within my life. Because you can hear it and hear it and hear it and not experience it. We can hear preaching on healing, but more importantly, we need to receive healing. You see, how does it come to me? Throughout the Bible, worship is the highway in which we receive everything from God. Psalms 37 and 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Well, the delight is, be malleable, apply yourself according to or submit to what the word of God says. Well, you're emotional, but I'm not emotional. Well, you can't You can't bring in the Spirit of God your unemotional way, according to rituals, according to traditions. No, I'm not going to come. We're not going to use a cart. We're not going to use something that hasn't been already approved. It's going to be simple. It's going to be my way. And when he began to worship Jesus, we find the man in the fifth chapter of Mark, a man who lived in a cemetery, had 2,000 spirits. Now, it's just beyond me. Here's a guy who has 2,000 demons in him, and when he sees Jesus, he knows one way to get to him. He falls down on his knees and worships him. And the spirits were cast out, and he went home to his family, which he was completely separated from, and he puts on clothes, and he's in his right mind. Now, if someone who has 2,000 demons can worship God, oh, I'm sorry, I had a problem at work this week, and I'm just not into it, no. Unacceptable, you see. Then there is no reason why we can't even, in the midst of our worst situation or problem, in fact, it is the 911 of Jesus. Before we'd ever call for help from anybody else, we lift our hands and say, God, I need you. You see, I worship you. Also in Mark 5, and some of this I've said on New Year's Eve, there was a woman with an issue of blood, and she took the same highway that the Gadarene did. She was determined to get a hold of Jesus to receive her healing, and she said in Mark 5 and 28, if I may touch the clothes, I shall be whole. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. That word touch in the Greek means to attach oneself in a relationship. See, if I can just renew my relationship with God, it's not a matter of a formula here. It's not a matter of if I just do this, this, and this. No. First, renew the relationship before you can apply the directions of this manual to your life, you see. It also meant, that word touch, set on fire. See, if we touch Jesus, now all of a sudden, his word will burn within our hearts, the power and the presence of God. If I can just renew the relationship, the Holy Ghost fell on them like a fire in the upper room. And how did it happen? It was when they just started all worshiping God. Amen. Glory to God. Please don't turn your hearing aids off, because this is so vital to our existence, you see. If people haven't been around the church for a while, they have to somehow get back into a relationship, an open relationship with God. And probably one of the first things is to raise your hands and surrender. Okay, God, what is it that you want me to do? I've been wearing hearing aids for the last 35 years, I guess. And when I first got my hearing aids, because I was in the artillery for 6 years, and I lost my hearing in that time. And what the audiologist said is, now what's going to happen is you're going to hear sounds that you have not heard for years. In fact, I walked into the house, and we have like 30 clocks in our house. I didn't even know they were making noise. Did you know that your refrigerator makes noise? And so he said, you're going to hear some things, and your brain is going to have to retranslate, because you haven't heard those things for a lot of years. And when we come into the house of God, those who haven't been a part of the house of God are those who have lost their hearing. They're going to hear some things that they haven't heard for a long time. And it's a wonderful thing. Birds actually make noise. And what's even more important is you're going to hear the still, quiet voice of God. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Mark 10:47, blind Bartimaeus got on the same road to worship. Nobody else wanted to be on that road. In fact, no one could stop him. He exceeded the speed limit on the road, even though there were all kinds of worship police trying to pull him over. He kept yelling, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." In verse 48, it says, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And we all know that blind Bartimaeus went home that night seeing. And there were others who didn't. Let me ask you this morning, how do you want to go home? Healed, delivered, content, have peace in your life? I don't want to just stand around like those that stood around Bartimaeus while others cried out, "Jesus." Because those who cry out get their deliverance, and they get their healing, they get their revelation, they get their direction from God. Like I said on New Year's Eve, those who are desperate never, never have to worry about not getting what God wants them. David said in 2 Samuel 6:9, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" David had just experienced the wrong way of bringing in the ark. For almost all of my young life, from probably 6 years old till I was about 30, I experienced the wrong way to bring into the presence of God. It was a form of godliness, but denying the power of God. Well, if you got the wrong traditions, you're always going to deny the power of God. They set the ark of God on a cart, and I'm sure they played some music. But it resulted in somebody losing their life because they didn't do it the right way. If we don't do it the right way, it could result in somebody losing their spiritual life in here. They came to a Pentecostal church experiencing or expecting a Pentecostal experience, and when they don't get it, they could die. Can there be a wrong way? Absolutely. Too many want to bring the Spirit of God and His Word into their life the wrong way. Oh, they're sincere. I think I was sincere. But they don't conform to what the Word of God says, not according to God's plan. Our programs won't bring God's presence into our place. Did you know that we can have music without worship?
Right.
Amen. They do. Amen. You know, the world has music. Amen. And that is not acceptable to God. That will not bring forth the Word of God and all of His promises, such as healings, miracles, gifts of the Spirit. You know, what we have to do is examine, how did these people get what they needed? The woman with the issue of blood, blind Bartimaeus, the Gadarene with 2,000 spirits, all desperate to worship God first, and then they received the promise of His Word. Amen. It's an exchange. It really is. Because there isn't anything that God puts more importance on than somebody's worship. Not just saints of God, but anybody who will stick up those antennas and say, God, what wilt thou have me to do? How will the presence of God come to me? And if the ark comes to rest in your house because of your worship, listen to me, then the blessings of God will continue to be in your house. The blessings of God will always continue to be in this church, but it's not enough just to be in this building. I want the blessings of God to be in my house where I spend 95% of my time. Glory to God. But if it's only the sanctuary that I worship, then it's only the sanctuary that I get blessed. Turn to 2 Samuel, please. Verse number 6. Chapter 6, rather. Verse number 9. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. Hallelujah. What stands out to me is that we're not getting all of the blessings and the benefits of God because we limit our worship in church services. And we're not bringing the Ark of the Covenant to our house. Don't tell me that it's not important to worship God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and not just on the good days, but on every day above ground. Hallelujah. In our house. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do a little dance. Some woman came up to my wife and I yesterday at a pastor installation. And she said, do you remember me? I said, no. And she said, in 1983, your messages touched my heart, and I can tell you assuredly, I'm in church today because of you. And then she turned to my wife, and she said, I remember you would worship God, and you'd do this little dance. She said, I dance just like you danced in 1983. We have an effect on each other. But even if you're too shy to dance in church, why don't you cut a rug at home? I'm glad this thing isn't limited to one place. Amen. I've said this before, but in 1980, my wife and I went to a world conference in Jerusalem, and every night at that conference, all of the greatest speakers were there, James Kilgore and Urshan and all of the well-known speakers. There was a little black man from Ethiopia who would get up out of his seat during the preaching. And he'd start to worship and dance. And it wasn't offensive. You know, if you'll know, you'll know if it's in the spirit if it doesn't offend you. I later found out that he was the general superintendent of the country of Ethiopia, and they experienced the greatest revival that our time has ever seen. Hundreds of thousands of people were filled with the Holy Ghost, and thousands of people received their sight, and lame walked, and miracles after miracles. And some of you remember he even came to our church years ago, Brother Tekla Marion. He was a young man. He loved God, but he didn't have full truth. And he, like David said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? I mean, can I experience everything that I read within your word, or was that for another time, another generation? Could I receive the Holy Ghost as they did in the Bible? And there wasn't anybody there to instruct him, nobody that would give him full truth. Well, that was what God had been waiting for him to say, and most of us as well. There aren't many highways in Ethiopia, but there was a road next to Brother Tekla Marion's house, and God said, start running down that road and start worshiping me. And as he started running down that road and his hands were up in the air, starting worshiping God, God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And over the years, I've been in all kinds of general conferences, and he has not stopped worshiping God. Don't tell me that worship doesn't have an effect on revival. Revival in the church, but also revival in our own life. And when we get to a place where we're feeling cold and we feel distance from God, it's so simple. Just start worshiping. Well, I haven't been the best life. No, no. Just start giving God what God wants in the first place. And now all of a sudden, there's going to be a revival in your life. Worship is not limited to church. And a lot of us are programmed that we don't need to be emotional in church, but it's just the opposite. If you really want to have a relationship, you have to have some kind of emotion with your husband, with your wife, with your God. In each Jewish synagogue, there is a copy of the Torah. The Torah is the first five books of the Bible. And these Torahs are usually printed by hand with quill and ink on a scroll of parchment, often several hundred feet in length, and the cost is generally $30,000 in order to have a Torah in your possession. And when the Torah arrives in a Jewish synagogue, there's a celebration similar to a Jewish wedding. Music is played as it is brought in because of the congregation is now, according to their tradition, married to the Torah or married to the Word of God. Faithful to the Word of God. Always coming home to the Word of God. You see, not saved by the synagogue, but saved by the Word of God. You're not saved by Apostolic Faith Church. You're saved by the Word of God and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is then locked in a box called the Ark, a symbol of the Ark of the Covenant, which once carried the law. The only thing that was in the Ark was the Word. Each adult is encouraged to dance around the synagogue holding the ark with the Word of God inside. This ceremony is called dancing in the Torah. When David realized that his way of bringing in the ark displeased God, David did a 3-month study of the Word of God or the Torah to see how. What? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For many denominations, it's a one-man show. And the only way they respond is based on what comes over the pulpit. But David did a three-month study of how does the ark come to me? How does the word of God come to me? How does the presence of God come to me? If people would do a study, they come to the only conclusion that you could ever come to. God inhabits the worship of his people. God values the worship of his people. It's the only way he's going to come to you. The word dance in the scripture makes up 15 different Hebrew and Greek words from whirl, jump, spin, turn, leap, and also extend hands, bow down, clap hands, and worship. And you know, we only see it a few times as dance because those who compiled the English, well, they just didn't feel comfortable with it. But I'm telling you, our God is very comfortable with it. In fact, Psalms 149 and 3 says, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with a timbrel and dance. And Zechariah 3 and 17, look, it refers to God who dances in our midst with joy. Could God be dancing in our song services with each of us? Because God himself can't contain the joy of his people as they start worshiping him. David had the same problem a lot of churches have, how to bring in the Ark of the Covenant. What he found is that the Ark had to be placed on the shoulders of the priests. Can't bring it in on a cart. Can't bring it in on the music. Can't bring it in on the intellect. Can't bring it in on the talents of the people. It had to be brought new. All of us are high priests, and each of us are priests in the house of God. It is imperative that we all have the responsibility of bringing in the Ark of the Covenant or the presence of God. True worship always precedes the word entering into our lives. That's why the song service comes first. The word came in on the, literally, on the heels of David. If you'll turn to our last scripture, 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. Starting in verse number 12. And it was told David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him, because the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, 18 feet, he sacrificed oxen and fatling, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, and with the sound of trumpets, and as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Micah, Saul's daughter, David's wife, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings Verse 20, then David returned to bless the house of Micah, and the daughter of Saul came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens of his servants as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David said unto Micah, it was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all of the household to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord. And I will be more vile than thus, and I will be base in mine own sight and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. I don't want to become spiritually barren because I criticize somebody for their freedom of worship, folks. He said it was before the Lord. Now, we may be in a group of people, but I'm telling you, it's before God. It's not before people. It's before God. We came down from the upper room in Jerusalem years ago. And right next to the stairs, there was the tomb of King David. I thought it was so ironic. That the tomb of David was so close to the upper room. David brought the word into Jerusalem through worship. And 120 in the upper room did the same at Pentecost, because as they came down from the upper room, suddenly the crowd asked two questions. What meaneth this? And what must I do? Like David said, what do I have to do for God to come to me? These questions could not have been asked if worship didn't bring in the ark. No wonder God proclaimed David a man after my own heart. David got his answer. How shall the ark of the Lord come to me? One word, David. Worship.